This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Today, a White House economic conference will focus on President Bush's plans for Social Security. The president has said he wants to give Social Security recipients the option of diverting some of their taxes into private investment accounts. He has yet to make a detailed proposal, but the idea has already produced a lot of debate. We're going to hear three different views on the future of Social Security this morning. The first is from Gregory Mankiw. He's chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisers. He says the number of retirees is increasing more rapidly than the number of workers whose Social Security taxes support them.
The one thing we do know is that there is this big hole in the current system. If you look at the difference between the projected paths of dedicated payroll tax revenues and the projected path of spending on Social Security outlays, the hole is at $10 trillion in present value. Doing nothing is not an option.
Is it accurate to say that the president's thumbnail proposal of taking some of the money and putting it into private accounts, that alone does not fix the system? You have to do something else, which the president has not yet said.
You're right that there are going to be hard choices to make. If this were easy, it would have been done already. And the president will come with a specific proposal that outlines the choices that he thinks that American people should make in order to fix the system.
In the future, if this plan passed, people would get some money from their investment fund and some money from this regular Social Security traditional account. Am I correct to understand that the idea is that the investment fund would make a lot more money and therefore over time the traditional benefit would basically be cut? People might end up with the same amount of money, but that's how the system would be
fixed. So under the plans proposed by the Social Security Commission, there would be a path for benefits under the current system, and then there would be the option, the voluntary option, to take some of your payroll tax revenues and put it into a personal account. If you did, you would have the personal account, but then you would have less from this traditional pay-as-you-go system. But if you put in the personal account, you'd also have the option to invest in different ways, whether you want in stocks, bonds, money market mutual funds.
The private investment accounts. The upside here is that if you invest in stocks and bonds, as you say, you might end up with a good deal more money than Social Security currently gives you, right?
That's right.
And what happens to that minority of people, perhaps, who knows, some number of people who would lose money?
Well, the systems that the Social Security Commission envisioned involved different pieces. You'd want people to put some money into their personal accounts, but there would still be a benefit from the pay-as-you-go part. One of the things about personal accounts is that decisions are personal decisions. Somebody could invest more in the stock market and take more risk, or somebody could invest less in the stock market and more in bonds and take on less risk for a lower expected return.
Although I'm just thinking, I mean, it's all interconnected. I mean, if my parents were retired and depending on Social Security and they made a couple of bad investments, suddenly the weight's going to fall on me because I'm going to want to take care of my parents.
Social Security is part of an intergenerational bargain where generations take care of each other. But what we do know is that the system right now will not continue to work. It's working right now fine for people who are now retired, but looking ahead to future generations, the system just can't be sustained in its current form.
One other matter, there's been discussion of this so-called transition cost, an extra trillion or $2 trillion that would be required in order to shift the system from what it is now. White House officials have indicated that they would be inclined to borrow that money. Why borrow?
Well, there may be some transition financing. Those are details that the president is working on. So any specific numbers you've referred are just conjecture.
This does seem to be a problem that we face now, and if I can put this in personal terms, why should I ask my kid to pay the cost in the future for fixing my problem now?
We're not fixing this just for people who are here today. We're also fixing it for your kid. And what we need to do is to put in place a system today that will work for your children and your grandchildren.
Given that there are a number of lawmakers, Democratic and Republican, who have come up with proposals, are there any elements of a Social Security plan that the president would just consider drop-dead elements? Like if a plan passed Congress that included a tax increase, would he veto that?
Well, the president said that he does not want to raise taxes to solve this problem. The president is also very open-minded and is going to listen to members of Congress and see what their concerns are. The most important thing is we acknowledge that this is a problem that shouldn't be kicked down the road as it has been in the past, and put into place a system that really is a permanent fix for future generations.
Gregory Mankiw, the chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisers, says something dramatic must be done to change Social Security. That notion is hotly disputed. Some members of Congress campaigned this year to create private accounts, but a number of members in both parties promised to preserve the program as it is. And some experts are skeptical of private accounts. Gene Sperling, a Democrat who advised President Clinton, says private accounts would only make Social Security's problems worse.
Nobody should have a belief that we can have a free lunch solution to saving Social Security. If you hear, as President Bush seems to be proposing, that we should simply borrow a couple of trillion dollars, then let people invest in the market and hope there's higher returns, well, obviously there's no pain, no sacrifice there. And when someone tells you that there's a free lunch or something too good to be true, one should be skeptical. And in this case, one should be very skeptical.
What is wrong, though, with the idea of looking at the stock market or even the bond market and pointing out that the return there, decade after decade after decade, is better than the return on Social Security for the average American?
There's nothing wrong with people looking at investment in equities and the market for part of their retirement security. The thing we should understand, however, is that retirement security now has what people call three legs: your pension, your private savings, which also usually includes your house, and Social Security. Of those three legs of retirement security, two of them, personal savings and your pension, already have significant risk. What was significant about Social Security was that that was the one leg of the retirement stool that you could rely on, that wouldn't go up and down just based on the market.
Former White House advisor Gene Sperling is now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He does acknowledge that Social Security could use long-term repairs, but he says they do not have to include private investment accounts, and one powerful lobbying group agrees. AARP represents older Americans. It calls private accounts too risky, and its chief executive, William Novelli, is promoting alternatives.
One thing you can do is raise the cap on the payroll tax. Right now, when you go up to $88,000, then you stop paying Social Security taxes. If you bring it up to where it has been sort of traditionally, you'd raise it to about $140,000 or thereabouts, and that would solve a good percentage of the problem. If we put all new state and local workers into Social Security instead of into separate plans, it would help quite a bit. And then there's the idea of collectively investing in other things besides Treasury bills, which was talked about some years ago.
Collectively investing, that would mean the government would invest the money.
The government would invest the money rather than investing with all these individual accounts with the high administrative costs.
Isn't that in itself kind of a dangerous and perhaps unworkable plan, because suddenly you would have the government being the world's largest stockholder in everything?
It could be. It's talked about that it may not be a good idea for the government to invest in the stock market, but the government could invest in other government securities besides T-bills.
Surveys have suggested that younger Americans are more receptive to the idea of private accounts than older Americans are. Will this become an intergenerational debate?
Our research shows that young people are cynical about Social Security. They don't think it will be there for them. But when you explain to them what's underneath private accounts and what the risks are, they tend to lose their sense of attractiveness. So our job is not just to talk to our members, but to talk to younger workers as well.
In what way are you mobilizing your members on this issue?
The mobilization will begin after we see the plan, but we are opposed to the idea of the private accounts, and we hope that there will be other opportunities to fix Social Security.
Do you think that you have the political power to stop this plan?
It's hard to say. I think we have 35 million members. These are voters. These are people who depend on Social Security. But we're even thinking beyond them. We're thinking about their children and their grandchildren. We need to make Social Security strong for all generations.
With those words, William Novelli of AARP states a goal very similar to that of President Bush. We also heard that White House economic advisor talk about future generations. But their Social Security solutions are very different. Over the coming months, persuasion and power may determine what decisions are made for future generations.